Good morning, everybody. We are going to get into the Word today. Excited to dive into our series that we've been doing. Just excited to continue in what God has been doing in our church as we've looked at, in Jesus' name, tackling prayer and altars. If you have not seen or been here for the other weeks of this series, we encourage you to go to our Flag Church app. And you can watch all of those back. We encourage you to do that. And something that we've been doing in our series is we've been reciting the Lord's Prayer before we begin with our message. And so if you would stand to your feet this morning, we are going to read this together out loud. And give me some grace because I haven't done this. So if we're not on the same page, do your best to get on the same page with me, all right? So let's go ahead and read this prayer together. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we are going to continue in our series this morning. We're going to talk about the salvation altar, the salvation altar. So if you're taking notes, that's what we are talking about. If you don't have a physical journal in this place, you can use your phone if you go to our Flag Church app, and you can find the notes on there as well. But man, I encourage you to take handwritten notes. There's something life-changing about it when you do that. Pastor Noah Heron said that I have given Jesus so many reasons not to love me, none of them have changed his mind. Are you thankful for the love of Jesus this morning that loves you despite the fact that you are not worthy of being loved? Jesus loves us anyhow. And it is by the grace of God that we are saved, right? It is by the grace of God that we are able to receive his salvation. It is truly a gift because we don't deserve the love of Jesus, and we certainly don't deserve the gift of salvation, and that's what makes the grace of God so powerful, right? He doesn't owe us anything, just like we were singing in that song. He doesn't owe us anything, but he extends these gifts to us because he is loving. Right, we still have the freedom to choose, but he extends these gifts to us saying, you know what, I know that you're not perfect. I know that you need grace and forgiveness, but here are all of these gifts. Here is the gift of salvation. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. So it is the gift of God. But what am I saved from? Right? Why do I need to be saved? We need saving from ourselves. Right? We need saving from ourselves because we are not perfect. We are not good. There is nothing good about us, so we cannot save ourselves. We cannot die in our own place because there would be no point in that because we would just die and that would be it. There's no saving of ourselves. And we see this in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 18. Paul is writing and he says, And the scriptures agree, for it is written, There is no one who always does what is right. No, not even one. There is no one with true spiritual insight, and there is no one who seeks after God alone. All have deliberately wandered from God's ways. All have become depraved and unfit. Kindness has disappeared from them all. Not even one is good. Their words release a stench like the smell of death, foul and filthy. Deceitful lies roll off their tongues. The venom of a viper drips from their lips. Bitter profanity flows from their mouths, only meant to cut and harm. They are infatuated with violence and murder. They release ruin and misery everywhere they go. They never experience the path of peace. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So what Paul is doing right here is Paul looks at the human condition from top to bottom. From top to bottom, and what he wants us to understand is our complete inability to save ourselves. that due to the fall of Adam and Eve, you and I have been corrupted. Every part of us has been corrupted. So there is nothing good in you and me. The only thing that can be good in us is God. That is the only thing, because he is the only one that is good. And it is by the grace of God that we are able to receive that goodness, that righteousness through his son dying for us. And we see this in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 26. And it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his patience he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." So this morning, I want to look at the word redemption here for just a moment. When it talks about the fact that it is that by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, the root meaning of redemption is ransom, by the payment of a price. To be redeemed means to be paid for, purchased, bought back, or restored. And so you and I, through the grace of Jesus, we are redeemed from our sinful condition. If we choose him to receive what he has done for us, we can be redeemed, because we are separated from God due to our sinful nature and the choices that defy him. We are slaves to sin, and we need rescued from that sin. And again, it is by our choice that we can experience the redemption that Jesus paid for us. And so he gives us the choice to accept or reject his salvation. Right? He gives us the choice to obey or disobey his directions. He gives us the choice to follow or ignore the purpose for which we were created. And that purpose is to be in relationship with him. He gives us the choice to do that because he is loving, because he wants us to willfully choose him, to let go of everything else and say, "Lord, I need you, because in you I lack nothing. I need to be saved from myself." And the moment that we choose to receive that gift of salvation, the moment that we choose to receive that gift of salvation is where relationship begins. There is no relationship prior to salvation. But when we receive salvation, we begin a relationship, and as we care for that relationship, we steward the gift that is salvation. We steward the gift that is salvation. You say, "Well, steward the gift of salvation. It's just freely given to me. Why would I need to steward it?" Because anything that God gives to us, we have to take care of it. Anything that God gives to us, we have to take care of it. And so you might say, "Okay, well, once I've been saved, can I ever not be saved?" Right? This idea, this question of, can I lose my salvation? We're not going to look at, can I lose my salvation, but can I walk away from my salvation? And we're going to look at the three stages of salvation. You might say, "I thought there was only one stage." Well, we're going to look at salvation in three stages, and the first stage is the past stage. All of us have been at the past stage at some point or another, or are approaching the past stage, because this focuses on the personal experience that we choose to receive God's forgiveness. This is where we go from spiritual death to spiritual life. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." He gave the right to, but we still had to choose that right. So we walk away from death, we walk away from our past, and we walk towards life in Jesus. Right? Maybe you haven't taken that step in the past stage of salvation yet. Maybe you haven't received Jesus. Maybe you're still living in death and you haven't walked to life yet. Well, today is a great opportunity to do so. But it's also something for us to reflect upon. If we've chosen Jesus and we've received his salvation, then we've walked from death and we've walked into life. We've walked from death, we've walked into life, and that leads to the second stage, which is the present stage of salvation. And the present stage of salvation is where the Holy Spirit saves us from the practice and the control of sin in our daily lives through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. So it's living daily with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us not to live in death, but to live in life. The Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us to do that through the present stage of salvation, because this is the active and the growing stage of our relationship. This is where we will remain until we meet Jesus. Right? Once you've accepted Jesus, this is where you will be, is in that active stage of, Lord, I need to depend on the Holy Spirit to redeem, to continue to redeem me and save me and keep me from the practices of sin. And John 15 explains this present stage. We see in John 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So if you remain in me. So you receive me from the past stage of salvation, but now you must remain in me in order to produce fruit. Because you cannot produce fruit if you do not remain in me, if you are not connected to me, if you are not running after me, if you are not in pursuit of me, or if you are not leaning upon the Holy Spirit to keep you from the ways of sin, you are not stewarding your salvation well. Jesus calls us to remain in him. And then the very next verse, in verse 6, it says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. And so what this verse would reveal to us is that receiving and remaining are two different things. That receiving and remaining are two different things. Right, I receive the salvation that Jesus has for me that is a gift, but then I must do the work to steward and remain in that gift. Receiving and remaining are two different things. We must remain in pursuit of God in order to be a good steward of our salvation. So are you a good steward this morning? Are you a good steward of your salvation with what Jesus has placed before you, the gift that he has given you? Are you being a good steward of it right now? And that matters, because the way that we steward our present salvation leads to the third stage, which is the future stage of salvation. And this focuses on the rescue and freedom from God's wrath and judgment against sin. Right, because one day Jesus is going to return, and you and I are going to answer for the way that we stewarded the gift. We either were good stewards or not, and we will answer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in that moment, were you a good steward of the gift that I gave you? And so when God gives us his word, it is to help us, right? We've talked about how the word of God is not written to us, but it is written for us. Right, it's for our benefit that we would adhere and obey and read God's word, because it will impact us and impart God's truth in our lives. And so the present warnings, all the present warnings through Scripture, and the calling of us to follow God's direction and commands is aimed at keeping us from forfeiting our future salvation. It is aimed at keeping you from forfeiting your future salvation. The Lord wants you to follow what is there so that you will remain in him. Because if you don't remain in him, it says that we will be like a branch that withers and is thrown into the fire and burned up. Right? So the Lord places everything before us because he says, I want you to be with me because I created you, and I want you to be a good steward so that at the end of the day, when I come to judge, that you will walk into the gates of heaven with me. You see, you can walk in two directions. It's not possible in your physical body right now. Totally impossible. But you can walk in two different directions in your spirit. So you either walk to Jesus or you walk away from him. You walk towards Jesus for salvation. Some of you may have not taken that step yet. Today you will take a step towards Jesus, towards salvation. Some of you, when you decided to follow Jesus, what did you do? You took a step of faith towards Jesus, saying, Lord, I don't know everything about you, but I'm taking a step towards you. But you can also walk away from your salvation if you walk away from Jesus, because your salvation is tied to Jesus, the one that gives it. So if you walk away from him, there's no assurance in your salvation because everything is tied to him. We need to remain in him so that we would have an assurance of our salvation, the gift that he has given to us. So we don't lose our salvation. We choose to either remain in it or to walk away from it. But Jesus tells us that we are to be a good steward of everything that he's placed before us. And so what you walk towards, you will grow to love. I don't know about you, but when I first decided to follow Jesus, I didn't know too much about him. So I didn't really love God. I might have been told, hey, in my salvation prayer, Jesus, I love you. But I'm not really sure I did. But as I walked towards him, I learned his faithfulness. I learned his grace and his kindness that led me to repentance. It was his love that continued to be showered upon me. And I grew in love with him just like we do with human beings. That the person that maybe you are sitting next to, maybe you love them. Well, the first time that you met them, you likely did not love them because that's probably weird, right? But as you got to know them, you got to know their character. You spent time with them. All of a sudden, you began to love them. Just like when we grow in our relationship with Jesus, when we spend time in his word, when we spend time in prayer, when we worship, when we give, when we serve, all of these things lead us to growing in love with him. But if you walk towards sin, you will love it and it will separate you from him. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 11 tells us this. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. So it's talking to Christians, those that have faith. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and your election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he says, if you do these things, if you do these things, if you remain in me, if you obey and adhere to the commands that I lay before you, if you pursue me and love me and you give me your life, then you will receive a rich welcome. If you remain in him, you will receive a rich welcome. And so we are called to steward our relationship with God. It is our responsibility. God loves us, but we must love him. We must steward that relationship. And when we steward our relationship well, good things happen. When we steward our relationship well, we experience the Father's heart for us. And when I experience the Father's heart for me, it changes the way that I love my wife. It changes the way that I love my kids. It changes the way that I love strangers and neighbors and the people that I work with, because I begin to realize how great the Father's love is, how much he is for me. And then all of a sudden, I look at the people that are around me and I say, you know what? I'm a mess. I don't deserve God's love, but he loves me. Look at this person that he made. God, I should love them in a way that honors you. When I capture the Father's heart, it impacts me and it helps me to understand his heart for other people. The Father's heart changes us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, it says, I urge then, first of all petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For where there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And so God wants to restore all of his creation to a relationship with him because he loves us. So this morning, if you don't have a relationship with God, you, from the very beginning, when God created you, you were his perfect creation, and he wants to restore you to a relationship with him because he loves you. Because he loves you. He created you to be in relationship with him. And it is through that relationship that we receive clarity of what matters in life and what matters to God. Right? When I begin to love the Lord and follow him and I understand the Father's heart, then it changes what matters to me. Right? Psalm 23 begins to become ingrained and make sense to me when I say, you know what, I maybe go through difficulty, but with the Lord I lack nothing. Right? Oh, you know, these finances don't matter. I'll invest them because it's not about me. It's about the kingdom of God. You know what? I'll step out and I'll love these people and I'll do this because it's not about me. They matter to God, so they matter to me. The Lord gives us clarity of what matters in this life. When we pursue him and we spend time with him, he gives us clarity. And the things of this world grow strangely dim. They don't matter anymore to us because we have clarity of what matters in this life. And with this clarity, we daily should do three things. And the first one is that we should build an altar for our own lives. Pastor Anthony talked about this in our series when he talked about the personal altar. The personal altar of laying our lives every single day before Jesus and saying, Jesus, I need you. Because wherever people encounter us, they should encounter Jesus. Wherever somebody encounters you, they should encounter Jesus. And people cannot encounter through us what we have not encountered. That's why we must be in God's word. That's why we must be together with other people in growing in vulnerability and not acting like we have it all together, but allowing the humility of Christ to rise up within us, right? We need to be with Jesus so that his spirit could dwell in us and be imparted to other people. So we must daily renew our commitment to Jesus. Every single day we renew our commitment to Jesus, and Jesus calls us to this in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Right? We know this verse. But the first hearers of Jesus, they didn't need an explanation of the cross. They knew that it was an unrelenting instrument of torture, death, and humiliation. And that if someone took up his cross, as Jesus told them, then he literally never came back. That it was a one-way journey to death. So when Jesus was saying, I want you to take up your cross, it's saying that I'm not going to be wishy-washy and go back and forth, but that I'm going to pick up my cross and I'm going to die to myself, Jesus, for you. I'm going to give everything that I have for you. And when we give of ourselves fully unto God, our lives will be saturated with his presence, and others will undoubtedly see Jesus in us. When we fully give ourselves to Jesus, that's when people see Jesus. I don't know if you've ever met somebody that you're like, that person loves Jesus so much more than me. Because you can just sense it on them when they walk in the room. You're like, there's something different about that person. That person has obviously fully given themselves to Jesus, that the presence of Jesus is saturated upon them. We should all want to be that way. That when I walk into a room, somebody sees me and that I just feel good around you. I just want to remain around you because there's something about you. That's how we should want people, even the people that hate us, to be. Like, man, there's just something in them that I can't hate. Even though they're annoying as all get out. We should want people to say, I just kind of enjoy being around that person. Denying ourselves means to live as an other-centered person. And Jesus was perfect at this. We will never be perfect at it. But I want to ask you this morning, who will know Jesus because you choose to not be passive in your relationship with God? who will come to know Jesus because you choose to not be passive, to not just say, I received my salvation, I'm good. Or will you steward your salvation so much in your pursuit of God that when somebody comes around you, they say, that person has been with Jesus. You know, it is because Jesus changed my life that I commit to giving all of mine for his kingdom and for the sake of others. Because I know that I'm not deserving of his grace. But Jesus changed everything for me and brought me from death to life, from darkness to light. And it changed everything. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So it's not just attending church. It's not just periodically reading our Bible. It's living as a sacrifice for Christ, saying, Jesus, I take up my cross willingly every single day because you are greater than everything else. I don't want it to just worship you when it is convenient. God, I give you my entire life. And when we do that, that is our true and proper worship. That is the kind of worship that Jesus wants from all of us. That, guess what, none of us are perfect at. But that's the kind of worship that Jesus wants from us. And so when we lay our lives on an altar to Jesus every day, it's with the hope that the gospel of Jesus might be clearly presented to the people around us. It's with the hope, because there's no guarantee, but it's with the hope that I come before Jesus every day and I say, Jesus, I need you. Because nobody will see me if I don't invite you in. Nobody will see you, Lord. And I want people to see you. And it's just with the hope that the gospel of Jesus might be clearly presented to the people around us. And people matter. And so that leads to the second one that we must do daily. And that is that we must build an altar for the salvation of others. For the salvation of others. Rick DeBoe says that we do not simply pray for our own benefit. We pray so that God might move and the kingdom of God might be built. Our prayers make way for others to pray their own prayers of repentance. So who in your life will come to know Jesus because you prayed for them? Day after day and year after year, that you come every single day and you build a salvation altar with this name written on it. That you lay these family members and these friends upon this altar and you say, Jesus, I want you to do a work in them. You know, this past Tuesday, I had a college student text me. We've been having some conversation about his younger brother who needs Jesus. His brother was in darkness and we were talking about it, had met about it. And he texted me on Tuesday and he said, my brother just said he's choosing a relationship with the Lord. I've been praying for him for years. And he said, I'm crying happy tears because God hears our prayers. And when I pray for others, my love for others will lead me to greater dependence upon God. Because I begin to realize that, God, I cannot save this family member or this friend, but I love them so much, and God, I'm so dependent upon you. You are the only one that can do this, and it leads us to spending more time with Jesus because we need him. Now, I've shared before that while I was in high school, I had a niece unexpectedly pass away at 10 months old. And my sister and her family, my two nephews and a niece, they've not been in church since. So 12 years or so, something like that, they've not been in church since. And I've been praying for my family as many of them don't know Jesus. Many of them walked into the past stage of salvation, but they're not living the present stage of salvation. So I know that many of my siblings, if Jesus comes back today, will not be with me in eternity. And that breaks my heart, but that is the reality. And little did I know that because of students serving in our tech team so that we could live stream our services. Little did I know that because of people in the church that chose to give for the expansion of the kingdom of God and not just to hoard it for themselves because they have clarity of what matters. Roughly 2 years ago, my 17-year-old nephew began watching counterculture services online without me knowing. And he gave his life to Jesus. And he began to read and study his word. And his life has radically changed. And he began interning at a church because now he's pursuing ministry. And his family has started to slowly attend the church because he prays for them and invites them. And they go because he's there. And on April 7th, just two Sundays ago, he, his 18-year-old sister, a senior that's about ready to graduate, and my sister all got baptized together. And so who do you need to start praying for today? Who do you need to start trusting that when you bring these names to the salvation altar that God hears you and he listens to your prayers and he is prepared to act on your behalf? And not only can we pray for people, but we can also pray that God would use us. And that leads me to the last thing, and that is that we need to pray to God for opportunities. Aaron Burke said that the Great Commission is not an option to be considered, it is a command to be obeyed. And a common lie and belief is that it's wrong of me to share my faith with others because imposing my beliefs on others isn't loving. But imposing and sharing are two different things. Imposing looks to control. Sharing looks to share because you love and care about somebody. Real love doesn't withhold truth from people. So 2 weeks ago in counterculture, a college girl stepped into counterculture the first time that she'd ever been in church. First time that she had ever been in church. And through the commitment of a friend who continued to invite and pray, she stepped in and she said that she immediately felt safe and welcomed. And then throughout the service, felt the presence of Jesus. And her friend came up to me after service and said, "Pastor Eli, would you have a conversation with my friend?" Because she felt the presence of Jesus. And so then I began to talk to her and find out if she had ever accepted Jesus before, came to know what her story was, and then was able to lead her through the salvation prayer after service. And that was enabled because a friend stayed consistent in prayer and looked for opportunities to invite and to talk. And it's as simple as the Lord praying this. It's as simple as, "Lord, give me opportunities today with the people that I interact with." Praying that prayer opens your eyes. Give me wisdom in what to say. "Lord, help me to be aware of the opportunities that you place before me." Because if you love Jesus, he is giving you opportunities every single day. We just have to begin to pray that our eyes would be opened. And we see this in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 to 17. It's with the prophet Elisha. And here Elisha and his servant are surrounded by an enemy. And it seems that they're in deep trouble. But while Elisha's servant is panicking, Elisha is not. Why? Because he saw beyond what his servant saw. His servant could only see the enemy around them, but Elisha saw an even greater army surrounding them, an army on his side. And so he prayed, "Lord, open my servant's eyes." And when he did, his servant saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So just as Elisha prayed for his servant, we must ask God to help us. "Lord, help me to have eyes that see beyond what is physical. Give me the eyes to see the opportunities that you are putting in front of me." Because Jesus is putting opportunities in front of you because you love him. And God doesn't just want to do a work in you, but he wants to do a work through you as well. So every day we have opportunities, but it's whether or not we take the spiritual blinders off and say, "Jesus, I'm available and ready to you. Whatever you want to lead me to, I'll follow." Would you stand this morning? I want to ask you to respond this morning in prayer. If you're in this place and you've never accepted Jesus before, I want to encourage you to step into that past stage of salvation to where you receive him and then begin to live in the present stage of pursuing Jesus. And so I'm just going to ask for everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes, because you would know in this room if you're somebody that needs Jesus. And so I'm just going to simply ask, that if you're somebody that needs Jesus, that you would pray this prayer with me out loud after me, and then everybody in this room is going to pray it out loud in support of you. But if you would choose Jesus today, afterwards, if you would come up and talk to me, or if you would go to our Flag Church app and say, I've committed to follow Jesus, we want to help you follow Jesus and take the next steps in following him. But if you would pray this prayer with me to receive Jesus, there's nothing better. So please repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I know you gave your life for me so that I could be made new. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. I give you my life and I commit to you. And in Jesus' name, amen. And then if you have family and friends, you can look up at me. If you have family and friends this morning who need Jesus, would you spend time this morning at the altar, building an altar for that person? Start the process of building a salvation altar today. And I want to encourage you, if you have a name that's already on your heart as I continue to walk through this, just begin to come up to the altar now and begin to pray for them. Lift them up, because the salvation altar starts today. Lift them up and believe that God hears your prayers. Ask your heart to be burdened for these people. And guess what? We all have people in our life that need Jesus. And then would you spend time this morning asking that the Lord would use you and open your eyes to the opportunities that he sets before you? Who will come to know Jesus because of the way that you love Jesus? Who in your family's life will be changed forever because you begin to lift them up, because you know that they are far from Jesus? Jesus loves you and he has you, and now he wants to use you to reach the people that he does not have yet. You are called for such a time as this. Jesus didn't redeem you so that you could just waste your life and your salvation. Jesus redeemed you so that he could save you and save others through you. And your very prayers matter. So let's begin praying as a church for the people that need to know Jesus, and allow him to speak to us and to change our lives and to change the way that we look at people. So let's respond to the altars this morning. Let's do it in prayer and let's do it in worship. Let's honor the King of Kings with our lives as a living sacrifice. Let's give him everything because he is worthy.
I surrender all. And I surrender.